Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm J.D. Holliday, and I think I'm waiting for the music to play, but it hasn't started, so I want to welcome you to It's Storytime. And, of course, you know I'm author and illustrator J.D. Holliday. It's Storytime can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork at Showtime, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you like at the same address. We have two stories for you today. Little Green by Arnold Rudnick, right? Is that right, Arnold?
Yep,
Rudnick?
That's correct.
Okay. And Mikey's Bad Day by Cheryl A. Johnson. Both, and later on we'll have book picks with Aggie Wilson. First we have Little Green by Arnold Rudden. Hi, Arnold. I'm so glad you can make it today.
Hi, J.D. Thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad. Really, it's been a while. I've been trying to get you on for a while, and I finally was able to schedule you. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about Little Green and then read it to us.
Absolutely. Little Green is a story about a small frog who wants to be special. And while he learns an important lesson, the reader also learns about animal groups and skills and sounds and traits. And I'll start right now. Little Green, written by Arnold Rudnick, illustrated by Marcello Gorenman, for Lauren. In the middle of a swamp on a bright sunny day, sat a little green frog who wanted to play. A flock of geese flew by overhead. "Wow," little green frog jumped up and said. Amazed by the way they soared through the sky, little green wanted to be a special and let out a sigh. He wanted to do something wonderful too, so he hopped out of the pond in the direction they flew. Great Goose held class at a nearby beach, teaching little geese to fly and extend their reach. "Believe in yourself," the great goose said. "Anything is possible if it's in your head." Then the goose told them all, "Stretch your wings out and fly. There is no right or wrong, just give it a try." "Excuse me," croaked Little Green, raising his hand. "Yes," Great Goose called, "Little Green Goose in the sand." Little Green asked, "What if I don't have wings?" Great Goose honked, "I've never heard of such things. All geese can fly, you're no goose if you can't," Great Goose harumphed, completing her rant. "Didn't you say anything's possible?" Little Green prodded. "I suppose that I did," Great Goose nodded. "Then isn't it possible?" Little Green inquired. "I'm a goose without wings," he sounded inspired. Great Goose thought for a moment, contemplating the question. Then she honked, "No, anything's possible except that exception. Now leave us alone and be on your way. This class is for geese only. I'm afraid you can't stay." Little Green hopped away, his feelings quite sore. He sighed a big sigh, more upset than before. Then a team of horses galloped past. "Wow," Little Green croaked, hopping after them fast. Amazed by the way they ran across the field, Little Green wanted to be as special. His new goal was sealed. He was very impressed by their speed and their skill. "I could run too," he said. "I have the will." In the meadow, head horse praised all the foals. "You ran very fast and met all your goals. Anything is possible if you try hard enough. You can win races and do things that are tough." The happy horse had smiled proudly and neighed. Little Green knew he had found the right place, and he stayed. The head horse began, "Now let's practice our gait. First, lift your forehoof, then hold it and wait." "Excuse me," Little Green croaked from the rear, raising his frog leg all the way up to his ear. "Yes, head horse and hay, little green horse in the back." "What if a hoof," Little Green asked, "is something I lack?" "All horses have hooves," whinnied head horse. "If you have no hooves, then you're not one, of course." "Didn't you say anything's possible?" Little Green prodded. "I suppose that I did," the head horse nodded. "Then isn't it possible?" Little Green inquired. "I'm a horse without hooves," he sounded inspired. Head horse thought for a moment, contemplating the question. Then he neighed, "No, anything's possible except that exception. Now leave us alone and be on your way. this class is for horses only. I'm afraid you can't stay. Little Green hopped away, and he began to cry. I wish they would at least give me a chance to try. In a nearby lake swam a school of koi. Wow, Little Green said as he jumped up for joy. Amazed by the way that they sparkled and shine, Little Green wanted to be as special, he made up his mind. Little Green saw his reflection. He was colorful, too. He had skin that was green with some bright bits of blue. King Koi taught the fish how to swim and to rule. Anything is possible, he explained, if you stay in school. King Koi told his students, now spread out your fins. Swim around. It's no race. Everybody wins. Excuse me, Little Green croaked like before. Yes, King Koi called. Little Green Koi on the shore? What if I don't have fins? Little Green asked. King Koi glubbed in shock, his patience quite tasked. All koi have fins. No koi is without. You are no koi, King Koi glubbed. There is no depth. Didn't you say anything's possible, Little Green prodded? I suppose that I did, King Koi nodded. Then isn't it possible, Little Green inquired? I'm a koi without fins, he sounded inspired. King Koi thought for a moment, contemplating the question. Then he glubbed, no, anything's possible except that exception. Now leave us alone and be on your way. This class is for koi only. I'm afraid you can't stay. Little Green hopped back to the swamp, lonely and sad. His feelings were hurt. He wanted his dad. He saw an army of frogs sitting around. They smiled and played, while Little Green frowned. Father Frog told the froglets they would grow big and strong. Anything is possible, he croaked all along. That's a lie, Little Green shouted, getting quite mad. What's that? Father Frog asked. Little Green, why so sad? I've heard all around anything's possible if I try, but I can't be a koi horse or goose. Tell me why. Little Green Father Frog smiled and said, I understand your confusion and that you feel misled. Almost anything is possible when you give all you've got, except that you cannot be something you're not. I must be the best frog I can be. I can do anything, but nobody else can be me. Some time passed, and Little Green grew big. Big Little Green taught other frogs with great joy that they could be anything, everything, except a goose, horse, or koi. Good jumps, Big Little Green croaked to his bunch. Now try extending your tongues for some lunch. Excuse me, a white furry critter raised her paw from the back. What if my tongue, white furry asked, doesn't have any slack? Without a long tongue, Big Little began. Then decided to stop. Why don't you walk up here, white furry frog, or swim, fly, or hop? Anything is possible you set in your mind, as long as yourself you first find. The end.
Wow, so cute. Thank you, Arnold, for being here and reading Little Green to us. I'm sure everybody
Thank
liked
you.
That story. Oh,
I hope
can you
so.
Tell us about can you tell us about your other books?
Yes, I've written another middle grade chapter book called ESP, Sixth Grade Sense, and it's about a sixth grader who could read minds.
Huh. And I just want to put in here, you wrote for a show I really loved, and that was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I loved that show. Just to throw that in there.
Thank you.
Where can people buy your books?
They're available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and schools and preschools can contact ParaphraseLLC.com for direct donations or discounts.
Okay. And why don't you tell people where they can find you and your books online?
Thank you. Yes, Little Green, you can visit isntitpossible.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter at Isn't It Possible. And you can see more about ESP at espete.com.
Okay. Again, thank you, Arnold, for being here and reading Little Green to us. Maybe you can come back and read from your middle grade novel at some point.
I'd love to. Thanks very much.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too.
Okay. Next, we have Mikey's Bad Day by Cheryl A. Johnson. Hi, Cheryl. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, J.D. I'm very happy to be here today.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and okay. You're going to read from Mikey's Bad Day. Go ahead. Tell us about Mikey's Bad Day.
Okay. Mikey's Bad Day was inspired about 25 years ago by my own son, who I used as my model in my illustrations. It's a story about a little 5-year-old boy who's struggling to remember the do's and don'ts that he's been taught. He's smart and energetic and has a great sense of humor, but sometimes he makes mistakes. And he finds out that by making a few mistakes, people can learn a whole lot. And what he thought was a not-so-nice day turned out to be just fine. So I will read Mikey's Bad Day now. I dedicated it to my son, Michael, and my grandson, Ethan, his son.
Mike was a
happy 5-year-old boy. He remembered to brush his teeth before he put on his pajamas each night. But sometimes he left toothpaste in the sink and he didn't notice. He remembered that it was his job to help wipe the silverware every evening after dinner, except on pizza night. But sometimes he got distracted and he ran off to play before the job was all done. He was very good about keeping his room neat and tidy and putting his toys away, except when he forgot and Mommy had to remind him. Even so, his mom and dad thought he was one terrific boy, and he gave the best hugs ever. One morning, things seemed to go wrong for Mike as soon as he woke up. It had started out like any other day. He had his breakfast, and now Mommy was upstairs taking care of his baby brother. Mike was thirsty. He decided to get himself a cup of juice. He had his own way of doing it. First, he set the paper cup down on the floor, and then he carefully poured the juice. But this morning, the cup slipped and fell over when it was half full. Mike looked at the puddle of spilled juice, and he felt badly. He'd wasted the juice, spoiled a cup, and made a mess on Mommy's clean kitchen floor. But then his mother saw the spill, and she wasn't angry at all. Mike made his upset face. He sighed, "I can't do it right today." Mommy laughed and wiped up the spill. "That's just not true, Mike. You do lots of things very well. But how about asking for a little help the next time you want a drink? I can hold the cup for you, and you can pour it yourself." She got a clean cup and poured Mike's juice up on the counter. Mommy went back upstairs to finish changing the baby's bed. Mike looked into the fish tank. The fish were swimming in circles. He thought they might be hungry. "Hello, little fishies. Have you been waiting for your breakfast?" He picked up the container close by and saw the bright-colored fish on the front. This was the fish food, for sure. Poor hungry fish. Mike decided to feed them while Mommy had so many other things to do. He shook a little food on the top of the water like he'd seen Mommy do. The fish acted very happy to see it. They nibbled it greedily. "You really are hungry, aren't you, little fishies?" He shook the rest of the food onto the water. It made an island until it started to drift down to the colored stones at the bottom of the tank. Mike smiled at his fish friends, and that's when Mommy came back. She stared at all the food floating on the water. "Oh, Mike, the fish don't need that much food. They'll get very sick if you feed them all that." She got the net and scooped out most of the fish food. Mike started to laugh as the fish swam away from the net. "I thought they'd like their Thanksgiving feast," he said. Mommy smiled. "But if they eat too much at one time, it wouldn't be good for them, Mike. You wouldn't want to make your fish friends sick, would you? Please ask me before you feed them again, okay?" "Okay, Mommy, I promise." "I'm sorry," Mike agreed. Mommy started cleaning up the breakfast dishes, and Mike wandered into the living room. There was the vacuum cleaner in the middle of the floor. It was all plugged in and ready to clean the rug. Mike knew how to turn it on. He'd helped his mother lots of times. He thought it was a nice idea to help Mommy while she was busy in the kitchen. Mike thought he'd better ask first. "Mommy, can I clean the rug for you?" Mommy said, "Sure, Mike, if you're very careful. That will be a big help. I'll be in soon. Thank you." So Mike turned it on, and he busily vacuumed the carpet. He didn't notice how close he was to a small table with a vase of flowers on it. He accidentally hit it with the hose. Oh, whoops! He hadn't meant to do that. Over it went. The water quickly seeped into the living room carpet. What a wet mess. Of course, this is when Mommy came in. "Oh, my goodness, Mike," she saw the mess and quickly got some towels to soak up the water. I think it's time you played outside in the yard for a while, Mike, she said. Daddy's outside doing yard work. Maybe you can help him. So Mike put on his sneakers and shorts, and he went outside feeling sad. He sat on the swing in the yard. He thought about all the things that had gone wrong that morning. He'd spilled juice, fed the fish too much food, and then he soaked the rug with flour water when he tried to help clean. Mike sighed. He better not try to help Daddy with the yard. Something else might go wrong. He thought to himself, why can't I do things the way I'm supposed to? I wish I was little like my baby brother. All he does is eat and sleep and smile. No one sends him outside when he spills something. Must be nice to be a baby, Mike said to himself. It's harder being a grown-up boy of five. Babies are too little to make mistakes. Maybe if I pick Mommy a bunch of new flowers, she'll be happy with me and smile. These are really pretty. She'll like these. When Mike brought the flowers inside to show his mother, she stared at them with her mouth open. Mike, are these the flowers growing out front? Mike admitted they were. He saw by her face that he had made another mistake. Mike felt like the whole day had been a really bad one, and it wasn't even lunch yet. He went up to his bedroom and plopped face down on his pillow. He almost cried. Mommy came upstairs looking for Mike. She found him in his room. She could see that he was feeling badly about everything that had happened that morning. I'm not angry with you, Mikey, she said. But, Mommy, I did so many things wrong today, he was not convinced. Mommy hugged Mike tight. Listen, Mike, you tried to help me all day. I'm proud of you for wanting to help. People make mistakes. If you don't try, you won't learn. I want you to keep trying and learning every day. Can you tell me what you learned today? Well, I learned to ask for help when I want a cup of juice. I learned not to give my fish too much food. I learned that I must watch where the vacuum cleaner hose goes when I help you clean the rug. And I learned to leave the garden flowers alone, but I can pick the wildflowers in the backyard whenever I want. Is that right, Mommy? Yes, Mike, that's a lot for one day. I would say that you're having a wonderful learning day. Mommy hugged Mike tight. She was happy, and so was he. So maybe his bad day wasn't such a bad day after all. The end.
Oh, thank you, Cheryl, for reading Mikey's bad day to us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay.
It's pretty biographical.
Okay, well, I want to bring up your other books. You have a whole series of The Mushroom Man. Would you tell us about them? And then you can tell us about any other books you have.
Okay, sure. Well, actually, it's a series of 7 storybooks so far. I'm working on 4 more, and there's 3 coloring and activity books that go along with those characters. Mission is Friends. And it's an idea that I got many years ago, and I wrote the very first book about 25, 30 years ago. And in the last year, I have just run with the whole character series. It's been so much fun. Yeah.
And great pictures, too, to go with it.
Oh, thank you. I enjoy illustrating just as much as I do writing.
Now, do you have any other books besides the Mushroom Man series and Mikey's Bad Day?
Well, Mikey's Bad Day is one that's not the same characters, and there's also a book called Pobkin, which is about a little elfy kind of character, and he's totally separate from Mission Friends. So as of right now, I've only got 2 other storybooks that aren't in the series, but I'm working on more.
Okay, where can people buy your books?
Well, my books can be found locally in Maine, where I live. We have a bookstore right here in Bridgeton, and also in Portland, Maine. There's a Longfellow Books on Monument Square that also carries my books, but they can be found on Amazon.com or createspace.com.
Okay, and let me see. Where can people find you and your books on the web?
Okay. I have a website called www.missionfriends.com, and it has links to all of the books. It also tells what's coming up and where my book signings are, any events, anything like that. I have a personal website that tells a lot about my background, my education, what interests me, and that would be www.artistcherylljohnson.com. And I have a Facebook page, and it's pretty easy to find me there, too, because I'm on pretty much every day.
Okay. And I want to thank you again, Cheryl, for finally us getting together and you reading Mikey's Bad Day. You'll have to come back.
It's been
and
wonderful.
Read the story we were. Okay. You'll have to come back in the winter and read the Mushroom Man's
Mrs. Winter Celebration.
Yes, Mrs. Winter Celebration.
Yes, I certainly will. I would love to.
Okay.
And thank you so much, Katie. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, and I thank you so much, too, Cheryl.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Next, we have a review on Book Picks with our author and illustrator, Aggie Wilson. Hi, Aggie. What book are you reviewing
today? Hi, Katie. Bee Bim Bop by Linda Sue Park. The illustrations are by Ho-Bike Lee. I hope I said that right. It's published by Houghton Mifflin in 2008. Bee Bim Bop is a spirited rhyming picture book from Linda Sue Park, Newbery author of A Single Shard. It starts with a little Korean girl helping her mother shop for a traditional Korean dish, bibimbap, or mixed up rice, despite her hunger. Park tells a story with a childlike urgency and tight rhymes to propel the happy child through the process of shopping and making a favorite meal, with it ending with father, baby, and grandmother joining them in a prayer and family meal. High Buck Lee illustrations are clean and lively, complementing the expectancy and young point of view of Park's writing. A fun story for children curious about cultures, process, cooking. It also includes recipes, so it allows the reader to try this delicious Korean dish. As the summer starts, it's great to remember the old as well as the new books and think about the projects that you can do with younger ones. And you can also find more about Linda Sue Park on her website, www.lindasuepark.com.
Okay, another good review, Aggie. Now, tell us about
Thank
your
you.
Books.
Well, I have a few. I'm working on my second all-ages coloring book. One is out already. It's called Precious Pets, Kittens and Puppies in Old Places. And I have a children's picture book, Nana's Gift, which is about a little girl who was left at her Nana's for the weekend, and she's not real happy about it, but by the end of the weekend, she ends up liking it just fine. And the other one is Duke Day for Annie, which is about my friend Ann Searcy, who grew up in Old Orchard Beach during the Harlem Renaissance. So she knew some really impressive characters, and one of her special friends was Duke Ellington, and she sang around town, around Maine quite a bit. She had a beautiful voice. So it's basically a day of her time preparing for when Duke would come and stay at their home. And all of them are available on Amazon.com.
Did you mention Nana's Gift?
Yes, I did.
I don't think you mentioned it.
But,
oh, you did? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tell us your website. Go ahead.
My website is www.aggiewilson.com. I also have a Facebook fan page. If you put in Aggie Wilson Work, AggieWilsonWork, and you can see what I'm working on now and some of my past work.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Aggie, for being here, as always. And, excuse me, giving us a nice review again.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day, JD.
You too, Aggie. Okay,
Thank
our time
you.
Is up for today. Bye. Our time is up for today, and you know I am JD Holiday, and you can find me, my books, and upcoming shows, and an index of all my shows for Book Garden Radio at jdholiday.blogspot.com. Please check out our other upcoming shows on World of Ink Network. Thursday, May 18th, catch book discussion with Fran Lewis. And on Tuesday, June 2nd, listen to a World of Ink Network special with Marcia Cook and Willow Cross. Don't forget, if you miss a show, you could always listen on demand. Thank you for being here and listening. See you next time on It's Story Time. And I think I'll play the intro now, the new intro. Bye now.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network.
Founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Casper Cook, their vision was to start a radio show that helps authors reach their dreams. The World of Ink Network has a wonderful group of hosts who are also authors and dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows bringing not only entertainment, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
So keep on reading.